Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelke. He's Jeff Fiegel.
Yes,
the phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Giants and Jets coming off their battle for bragging rights, the MetLife Bowl, MetLife Stadium on Saturday night. The Giants coming out with the one-point victory. It looked like a close game at the end, but if you look at the first half, which is really more indicative with the starters did against the starters, the Giants, I believe, were up 29-3
at
halftime.
Correct.
So they played well. I think you got to be pretty happy with it. We'll recap that, and then we'll take your calls, of course, look ahead to the fourth preseason game. We'll talk 53-man roster a little bit if you want, whatever you want to talk about.
We'll
talk
about it.
The floor is open. But, Jeff, let's talk about the game. This is our first show since we played that game on Saturday night, so let's talk about it a little bit.
Yep.
And I think heading in, the biggest concern was about that first-team offense and whether or not they could get something going. And I think, for the most part, you have to be pretty happy with the progress that you saw.
I was. I mean, the running game got going. Red zone, they were 50%. One thing bad, they threw an interception down there on the first drive. But they were able to get it in the end zone both running and passing, so I think that's good. I did see a lot of production when Jonesy was in there for that the series that he was.
Brett Jones at right guard, right?
Yep, Brett Jones. And then you saw a little bit of DJ Fluker. As we were told, there was going to be some different lineup changes, and there was.
Saw Chad Wheeler, too, replace Eric Flowers in that first half.
Yep, and that was something I didn't think we would see just because of – Really, I don't know if it's – I don't know.
I'm not sure how much that
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure what that
means,
though.
Yeah. I think it was
I gotta be honest
maybe
with
just
you.
Get him out of the game and he's done. But for the most part, the offense showed a little bit of consistency. They were able to sustain some drives. Still got to work on that red zone, not turning the ball over. But they got the running game going. Perkins looked good. Darkwood looked good. So overall, I think productivity was there, and that's what you needed in that third game. Not going to get much of the starters next game, so –
Well, and I think the focus, too, and you mentioned it, was on the running game. And I think Paul Perkins got going a little bit. And I think against a very good Jets defensive line, this Giants first-team offensive line easily had their best performance so far this preseason.
Oh, no question. And they needed it. I mean, they really did. I think it was a point of emphasis coming in to the game from a coaching perspective and from the players' perspective that, hey, we got to get some continuity going here, some confidence. They got that monkey off their back of scoring a touchdown. So – Yeah, I think that, you know, really the third game after that, it's okay, now what are we going to do? Start preparing for Dallas, because a lot of the younger guys, as we all know, we've talked about, John, this is an opportunity for the younger guys. They normally, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't be here going into this game, because there was usually a cut today or yesterday.
Yep.
So that gives just that one last look as an organization and a coaching staff to look at some of those guys that are, one, on the bubble, or two, that maybe want to audition for the practice squad, because you know this is kind of where you're making those decisions in that fourth preseason game. There would be no game planning for this game at all, and they will just probably just go out and get stuff done. Listen, there's not a lot of work time to do some work here. You know, this is their third game in 11 days, and they're coming off today's Monday. They're playing on Thursday, so I don't know. You fast forward, this might be a Thursday practice in a real week, maybe a Friday practice, right?
Yeah, I think it's something almost in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're only 2 days off of a game, but now you're only 3 days before a game. So normally it would be a Thursday practice, but it's not a Thursday practice because they only played 2 days ago and they want the guys to recover
a little bit more.
Yeah, so
it's an in-betweener.
Yeah, this is one of those unique things that really doesn't have, I think, a regular season equivalent. Couple more things on the game, Jeff, before we look ahead to Thursday. We will do that very quickly. Offensively, I think you have to be happy with the job Travis Rudolph did, stepping up when he was given the opportunity for the Giants. Top five wide receivers being down, and he did a really good job, and Roger Lewis caught a couple passes as well.
And we've talked about it. You know, those guys had a chance to go in there with the other starters that are out and prove what they could do. I think that Travis Rudolph made a he definitely made a push for that receiver slot that's going to be open.
And Josh Johnson should send Mr. Travis Rudolph a bouquet of flowers for thank you, because if he doesn't go up and over that Jets defender to make the catch, that's probably an interception going the other way.
And that wouldn't have been good.
No,
that
not been for good. Josh Johnson.
Those two guys did well. We talked a little bit on Friday about the tight end position. And, you know, basically I think that it's an open competition there for those third and fourth spots, if you will.
And I think it still is, by the way.
And I still think it is. And what I think, John, you and I talked about this, is that it seems to us that, you know, is Coach McAdoo throwing the fullback position in as a tight end slash, you know what I'm saying, like a one grouping there?
Well, yeah, we've talked about this, Jeff. Yeah, I think you're looking at four spots.
There you go.
That's going to be either tight ends or fullbacks or some combination thereof. And I got to be honest, and you know, you folks have heard me say this a million times, and I think you've been on board actually with it, that I always thought Red Ellison was such a good blocker and able to do both jobs that wouldn't necessarily then necessitate having to keep or wanting to keep a fullback, just because how much you're going to use him with Red Ellison there. But now you really get the feeling that Shane Smith's got a real, real, real good shot here, and he might even be ahead of maybe some of the tight ends right now on the pecking order.
Well, let's just be honest. When Red Ellison signed here, we didn't think he was going to catch many footballs. I mean, we've seen a little production out of him in the passing game. So that may lend itself to say that, okay, well, maybe we are going to use him a little bit more as a catching tight end,
right,
and maybe keep a guy like Shane Smith, who has, by the way, has shot up that depth chart. And I'll tell you for two reasons. Number one, he's doing well on the field. Special teams, a guy can play special teams. We talked about it all the time, and I know it gets redundant, and we won't talk about it much after this, you know, after the preseason's over, but this is how those guys make a team. That's how
true.
A guy like that makes the team. And Munson's another guy on defense that he led the team in tackles against the Jets, and he's a guy that plays core special teams.
But he also got caught on an isolation route with
Bilal
Powell.
Well, that there goes
to
show you his inexperience.
Well. Correct.
Exactly.
Well, not just an experience. I think it also, look, and a guy like Calvin Munson, look, he's not drafted. He's an undrafted free agent. So even a guy like that, and, you know, and I go back to Chase Blackburn, he was a similar guy. As good as Chase was, these guys are not A-level athletes. They're not the guys that are going to blow up the combine, that are super fast, super quick. They're smart. They know what they're doing. They're good football players.
Yeah.
But I think some of that deficiency in the athleticism category, and again, they're much better athletes than either me or you, obviously, but it gets exposed a little bit when you get in an isolation situation against a good running back and Bilal Powell, who's a good wide receiver, who's a good receiver as well.
And quicker.
And much quicker than the linebacker. And he got exposed a little bit, which turned into that 85-yard touchdown for Powell.
Yeah, that was a good play. Yeah, absolutely.
And frankly,
it's football.
Not many linebackers can stay with Bilal Powell one-on-one, yeah, by the way.
And, certainly after he caught the ball and started running, there's no way that guy's going to catch him.
No, that's correct.
So it's just, you know, a matter of making that play in the middle of the field, but it didn't happen. But, you know, back to our point was that there still is some positions up for grabs here. You have one more game as an audition, if you will, for these younger guys and the back end of the roster and the bubble players. So we'll see what happens against New England. No report. We don't have anything about who's going to play in that next game. As is, we don't know who New England's going to play. Typically, I will tell you from my experience when I was playing up there. In fact, one time it was actually pretty funny. We were out on the field. When we came out, there was probably 30 guys on the field going through what looked like a practice. And it was a practice. And basically, Belichick took all those guys that participated in that pre-game.
Mm-hmm. I remember that game, actually.
They sat, none of them dressed, mm-hmm, and he looked over on the sideline. Now, this is back when they were down to 65.
Yep.
There was literally like 30 guys on the sidelines in uniforms, and it was kind of weird.
Now, it's easier now, because like you said, you have the larger roster.
Sure,
you don't
yeah
have to cut down, so there's a lot more guys to play. So you're actually probably more apt to see more starters not play because you have so many of those
to
extra roster players
right
to play those extra snaps. Here's a question for you. What do you think the Giants will come out looking like on the offensive line on Thursday night? Who will be your starting five to start that game?
Well, I'll put it this way. If the starters do start, which I think they will.
And I think the starting offensive line, maybe, if I had to guess, would be out there. I don't know anything.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you that it's going to be the same as usual, except for right guard. I think that Brett Jones will be in there as the right guard.
So you think they will give him a shot to win that starting job if he can play well in that with that first team?
If he hasn't already. That's just my opinion.
Wow. Okay.
This is a bottom line league. The bottom line here is that it's all about production. It's all about putting the best players. You hear the coaches say it all the time. I want to put the best players out on the field that are going to compete and win games. This is a prime example of it. They tried. They found a guy that could fill into a position. Now, listen, Brett Jones is not a big dude.
And that's what I worry about, Jeff. And we saw a couple plays where Sheldon Richardson rode him a yard or two into the backfield. Now, he was able to re-anchor and slow him down.
Right.
Good job by Brett Jones. But I think, you know, if they start putting some mammoths across from him, you might run into some problems.
Well, you know, the guy's smart and he has good technique, so that'll go a long way.
Sure.
But it's not going to go a long ways all the time if there are guys bull rushing them and things like that. So maybe you just got to tap the guy on the shoulder and say, "Hey, Bobby. Hey, Weston, can you give me some help here?
I got a 350 pound
guy in front of me." You know, so that to answer your question, I think that's what you'll see.
Do you think the coaches have already decided who their starting five are on the offensive line for Monday night or Sunday night against Dallas? Or do you think that is pending what happens on Thursday?
I think they know who's going to be.
See, I think it's pending Thursday. I still think it's an open. I think that's the only starting job.
Okay.
That actually, I should say one of two starting jobs. We'll talk about the other one in a second. That will be open up and still available to be won on Thursday night.
So on Thursday night, I mean, is it a good evaluation when the starters for the Patriots are not in there?
Well, let's see. Do we know they're not going to play any of their defensive
linemen?
Again,
this is a guessing game. Right. So let's hypothetically speak that all of a sudden it is the beginning of the game and the five starters are in there that we think they're going to be, mm-hmm. or you or I, and the defense for New England is in there, the starting defense.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a proper evaluation for one or two series and make your decision on just that? I like to look at this last game.
Oh, no, I don't say just that, Jeff, but I think it becomes part of the picture. Like if, for example, in those two series, if Brett Jones on two plays gets pushed into Eli Manning's lap, then I think Josh Johnson's lap, whoever happens to be out there, then I think maybe you do a little bit of a double take. Maybe the Patriots saw Brett Jones on tape this week. Maybe they looked at the game against the Jets a little bit, and they said, you know, we're going to try to come after this guy. Because, you know, things change when teams start the game plan a little bit.
And there's always – we go to the end, and there's always a – there's something like this usually happens. You know, we all think it's going to be this, and then it's something that's to happen. What was the other one you talked about, the other starting position?
I think with Jay Brown was knee injury, defensive tackle.
Oh, on the defense. I thought you were meaning on the offense.
No, I think on offense everything else is decided. I think the other question is the defensive tackle spot next to Snacks Harrison. With Jay Brown was knee injury, there's no word on the severity of it, if he's going to miss games or weeks or whatever. We don't know. But he does have an extensive injury history. He has missed a lot of time in years past. It's Dalvin Tomlinson. It's Robert Thomas. And those are going to be the two guys. If Bromley can't go on Thursday, and again, who knows? I don't know if he can or not. Those guys will fight for that spot.
I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those two starting, in my opinion. I think you might tip your hat to Thomas because he's a veteran.
I think so, too.
But don't be surprised.
And I'll say this, too. Even if Thomas starts, it won't be his job, period. Like, series number two, if Dalvin Tomlinson's the starter on first down, that would not surprise me.
Yeah, I agree. There'll be a big rotation. So they could be in a co-starting role, if you will.
Yes.
You know.
Concerns about the second group in the back end of the defense.
Big concern, which we've always had the concern on the cornerback position.
Which I think you're looking at the fifth cornerback, and that's kind of what you're trying to figure out. Because Michael Hunter, I'm not going to say he has it wrapped up, but if he comes out of concussion protocol, is okay. I think it's safe to say he's probably the fourth guy on the list right now. Is Dante Dean on the fifth, and who's the guy after that?
May not be here.
And they actually just signed the guy off waivers, and let me double check his name because I had it before.
I don't think he's here.
He might not be.
You look at a guy like Leon Hall last year.
Yeah, the Giants signed cornerback Tay Glover Wright off of waivers. So that's somebody that the Giants could put into the mix here. And, you know, corners, if you play a lot of man, you don't have to know a lot of playbook stuff. The Eagles waived him.
All right. Is he a
He played in two games for the 2015 Indianapolis Colts, was not credited with a tackle. Rookie free agent with the Falcons in 2014. And then he was on the practice squad of the Colts last year.
All right.
A little bit. So he's kind of been one of those in and out of the league type guys.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. They did sign him.
Yes.
So
claimed off waivers.
They claimed him off waivers. They had a roster spot? Oh,
is that the Valentino Blake spot? I don't think so, right? I think they used that spot last week to bring somebody in. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to think who that might be. Maybe they had an open spot on there. I'm not sure. It's a good question, Jeff. She asked questions. I don't know. That's a good question. 201-939-45. Oh, yeah. That's right. Evan Schwann, the poor kid that got hurt.
Yes, okay.
That opened the roster spot.
Right.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Excellent job.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
Let's talk a little bit vague, and then we'll get to your calls. The backup quarterback position.
That's another good question.
I did not see anything to me that stood out
I don't
that
know
you
yet.
Could say. you're the guy or you're the guy.
It's okay? Open. I still don't think it's Davis Webb, though.
It's a day of questions for you, Schmilk.
I don't think it's Davis Webb still.
Oh.
I don't.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Would it behoove the team to say to Geno Smith, you are going to start this game, you're going to play three quarters, and this is your game to show us you will be the guy. You're just going to put it all out there for him.
And we would
say this is the final audition, okay? But what does that do for Josh Johnson?
No,
are you giving much of confidence to Josh Johnson that you only give him a quarter?
I think you give both guys a half.
See, okay.
I think you give both guys
the coin,
a full half.
Okay, you're starting, Geno.
And you tell Geno Smith, if you want to be on this team, don't do anything stupid. Okay. Now, he might throw an interception if a wide receiver runs a bad route or somebody makes a great play. That's fine. But don't make a play like you did in your two previous interceptions where you just basically don't see a defender and throw it right to him.
Right.
And if he can manage that, I think, for an extended period of play time, he's got a real shot at winning this job. Because I think the offense moves and functions better when he's in the game. But those interceptions really bother Ben McAdoo.
They bother any coach.
Bother the hell out of him.
They bother the coaches and us,
yes.
too.
Well, Paul Dottino especially.
Now, one more quickly.
Oh, wow. More questions.
Well, a lot of questions for you today. The kicking position. Mm. Wow. I mean, Mike Nugent came out and he really put a fire under the competition here. I mean, a 54 and a 50-yard field goal. Here we are sitting. Now, listen, the guys can make a 50-yard field goals, okay? But they were pretty good kicks.
It was impressive.
This one's going down to the wire.
Yeah, see, to me, Jeff, I don't think it is. And here's why. This competition to me.
Hold on. Okay. It's going down to the wire. What I mean by that is, and I know what you're going to say, it's going down to the wire, meaning that no one's going to get cut between now and then.
Agreed. They have not made their decision yet. But to me, this competition was always about Alger Grosas losing the job more than Mike Nugent winning the job. And Alger Grosas has done nothing to me to show this team that he's not ready to be the kicker. Because he has more raw tools than Nugent does. I mean,
and
just look at the two guys standing next to each other. Grosas outweighs him by, 50 pounds?
Yeah, at least.
And is like 6 inches taller than him? I mean, it's just physically, and that gets the leg strength.
Right.
So he has the tools, and since he's been, frankly, good enough and done everything they've asked him to do, I did not like the miss hit. I know it went in, but that kick was miss hit in week 2 against the Browns in Cleveland. The low line drive from 40-something yards.
Yeah.
That honestly, and for that to be his almost biggest misstep of the summer tells you how good he's been. That a made field goal has been the thing that's worried me the most.
Yep.
But to me, he hasn't done anything to make me think that he's not going to be the guy.
And Mike Nugent, he's put some stuff on tape. Hey, you know, I'm perfect in preseason. I've hit 250 yarders to this point. You know, so one of these guys, whoever it is, that leaves here may get a job somewhere.
No chance they keep both, right?
No way. No way. There's absolutely not. And the other thing is, how? We can't keep both those guys. There's no way.
I remember back in the day, they used to have the kickoff specialist and the field goal
kicker.
They
did, because a lot of times it was the third quarterback that they would keep a kickoff guy.
So maybe you have everything from 50 yards and out in kickoffs would be Rosas, and everything from 50 yards in or 45 and in would be Nugent.
I don't think so. But
I don't think so either, but I asked the question.
I would go out on a limb and tell you that if one of these guys gets cut, one of them may end up in Jacksonville or Arizona. Let's put that on
Or, by the way, they might be kicking the middle ends for the Jets. They have a little competition going, too, over there.
Yeah, and I heard it hasn't been that good.
No.
So.
Or how about Tampa, where they had the Nick Folk-Aguayo competition, and Folk won the battle, but he's missing stuff now in games. Yeah, in the last Hard Knocks, he missed a 40-something-yard field goal. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa has their eyes on whoever doesn't win that battle either.
And real quickly with the Rosas deal, you know, you look back at what happened the last 3 or 4 years with the kicking position. You got McManus who leaves here and goes to the Broncos, is now a very, very good field goal kicker in this
big
league.
Big leg. Mm-hmm.
And then you got the kid that went up to Pittsburgh, the field goal kicker up there. I forget his name right now, but he was in training camp with the Giants, and then he ends up going up in Pittsburgh, and he's their kicker now.
Absolutely.
So, a lot of guys come out of here.
And if Rosas doesn't make the team for whatever reason, another team will pick him up.
No question.
I would be blown away if they did.
Which probably lends itself to your thinking. this job is done. It's his to lose. He didn't lose it.
Did you watch any of the game last night, by the way?
No.
Kai Forbath is having a competition in camp with a young kicker for the Vikings. I don't remember the young kicker's name. That kicker last night hit a 58-yard field goal that hit the net behind the goalpost.
It doesn't surprise me.
That thing would have been good from like 67 or 68. But then, of course, the next kick, he misses one from 42. After he made one for 58, so yeah. Whatever. And then they're going to have Forbath kick in the fourth game to see who's going to win that battle. Anyway, now let's get – do you have any more questions? Are you done? You're okay?
As of right now, no.
Okay, excellent. Now let's get to your questions at 201-939-4513. Nick in the Meadowlands called in first, so we go to him first right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Great,
hey,
Nick. What's on your mind?
What are you guys doing here on Monday together?
I know, right? We got a little change up in the schedule.
Yeah, we've mixed it up, and we're actually going to be back together next Monday on Labor Day. Actually, you switched off of that Labor Day show, right?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Yes.
Sorry, because Jeff didn't want to hang out.
Well, no, I didn't.
Okay.
No, that's the following week.
Oh, that's right. You switched off the Monday after
the
Dallas game.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
On the 11th.
Jeff was selfish, and he's going to make Paul Dottino come in and do the show off of like 3 hours of sleep. Granted, Paul doesn't sleep anyway, but so it really doesn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, so you got us today.
He offered it to me, and I said, no, I want to sleep.
That's great, man. That's great.
All right, what do you got there?
So are you guys going to be on Friday, too, as usual?
Not this week. During the season, we're gonna have some rotations. But Jeff will be on Monday.
Okay.
Jeff will be on Monday more often than not during the regular season.
Yep.
You're gonna have Deal and Big Guy on there.
Big Guy.
Big Howard.
Yeah, Howard. Howard. Oh, yeah. Howard. I believe Howard's back this year, though. The schedule is still up in the air. It is currently being constructed, so we will find out.
Under construction.
All right. I guess Thursday is when we're gonna find out about the kicking situation, right? I guess they'll try to have their last competition there.
You think?
We're probably thinking.
I would think that they know what Nugent can do. I think they're going to give Rosas most of the reps on Thursday. That would be my guess.
Well, maybe. Okay. I mean, up to this point, they've been doing the same thing every game.
That's
so
true.
Who
maybe
knows?
Not.
We don't know. That's all I guess.
And Jeff, what did you think about that punter on Cincinnati with that behind-the-back move there?
Oh, that was sweet.
Oh, I didn't see it. Did
oh, yeah.
Do?
It was a fake punt. He went to kick it. He's left-handed. And then he took it and put it around his back. Pretty good play. I mean, punters are athletic.
Did he run it or throw
thinking,
it?
Man. Did you see the guy was right in his face?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He so the guy was going to block the punt.
Yeah, and he just took it and put it around his back. And I only saw a brief clip of it. I didn't see the whole play. So I can't comment any further
it. They messed up the snap. It was really late. And by the time he got the ball in his hands,
the guy
was coming right in his face almost. His leg would have been up, like, you know all about that. So he didn't even think about that. He like a basketball movie, throws the ball right behind his back into his right hand, and he takes off to the left. He got tackled right away, but it was pretty sweet. It was, quick thinking. I never seen nothing like that.
Well, he was protecting himself, that's
I'll,
for sure.
You know what? I have not seen that play, Nick. I'll find it online.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's pretty sweet. I got a few things with the game. I remember calling last time I talked to you guys talking about the fullback, and I think they should definitely keep him, you know, because he can play special teams too. I think he plays on all of the special teams units.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting decision. It really will. Actually, the guy's done well.
Too.
Yeah, yep.
He's a good special teams player too. He's always around the ball. But other than that, it's too bad that we didn't play New England in the middle of the preseason, because I would have liked to see this defense go after Tom Brady.
Well,
I would have really liked to see that, you know, but I don't think you're gonna, because
nope.
JPP is his athleticism, I think, has came back to him instead of trying to bull rush all the time because of his injury, and I think it's just the sky's the limit.
Well,
for
Nick,
him.
And I think the thing about JPP right now is that he's fresh, and I think a lot of times he wears down during the season, so I think right now he's pretty healthy and he's pretty fresh. Hopefully that keeps up.
Been playing hurt,
I'm seeing some of his old moves, though, you know, some of those old athletic moves, and it's just his instincts. And I think Dalvin Tomlinson, when we were talking, you know, a month ago probably, I said he'll definitely start, maybe not week one, but maybe he'll be there, you know, two or three, but maybe it'll be sooner than I thought now.
It could
and
be.
I think it'll be fine, you know. He's going to be an outstanding player. This defense is going to be wow. And Jerry Reese, back in the day, I'm thinking we need to get safeties, you know, a few years ago, and he goes and he trades down for Landon Collins and gets him in a second round. And what makes him so good, guys? What do you think makes Landon Collins so good?
downhill. I mean, the guy has good instincts. He gets downhill. When he sees a play, he closes on it quickly. And, Nick, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate
it. Hold on. One thing. Let me just answer that.
You were asking me.
I was asking you guys the question, but I wanted to tell you, you know what it really is? It's like LT back in the day. Once he knows the defense, I mean, Landon Collins knows everything about the defense. He's so comfortable out there. That's where his instincts take over. And like LT, when we saw it, he just let his instincts take over, and he lined up where he did, and bang. So I think Landon Collins is just going to keep going up from here because it's just he knows Spags' defense like the back of his hand.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
when
you,
that happens, good things happen. So
appreciate
let's
it,
go Giants. Take
thank
care.
You, man. You too. And I think the other thing, too, I think you need to give Steve Spagnuolo credit for Landon Collins as well. And I think Nick is right. I think it's the knowledge of the defense certainly helps. And, you know, you're not thinking, you're reacting. And he actually talked to me in the offseason. One of the things he tried to get better at this year, he thought a lot of the plays last year when he broke on the ball, if he read that stuff a little bit quicker, instead of having deflections or tackles after a catch, he would have interceptions. And I think we saw him do that with the play against the Jets with Christian Hackenberg, which is a great play. Hackenberg threw it late. We all know that, but still it was a great play. But back to my original point was that I think Steve Spagnuolo understands what Landon Collins is good at.
Sure.
He understands what maybe he's not great at. He's adequate at everything at this point.
That's what good coaches do.
And he puts him in a situation where you're not asking him to backpedal. You're not asking him to, you know, run sideline to sideline, the middle of the field deep. You're putting him in that middle of the field. You're letting him read. You're letting him get downhill, rush the quarterback, get after running backs, get after tight ends and running backs in the flat. That's what he's good at, and that's what he's great at, and that's what Steve Spagnuolo lets him do.
And his familiarity with the defense, and just, you know, he's become a pro. You hear him all the time about preparation. He studies, yeah. And that, to your point, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, he's not making that play because he's not just so familiar with where he has to be. It's just experience.
And give Landon Collins credit, too. And one of the points that I think we all made about him when he came out of college is that he was a 230-pound safety.
Yeah.
If you're 230 pounds at safety, you could be, you know, a great athlete. Odds are you're not going to be a great cover guy. It's hard at 230 pounds to be covering, you know, 198, 205-pound wide receivers running 4.4s. It's just not an easy thing to do. It's really hard. But now he's playing between 215 and 220. He's lost, you know, 10 to 12 pounds since his rookie year, and he talked about that last offseason a lot, not as much this year. And I think that's really helped his mobility and allows him to get where he needs to go
and his
faster.
Speed. And his speed, you know. And you don't think that 10 or 15 pounds is that much, but it really is. I mean, it's for a guy that runs around.
And here's, folks, if you don't quite understand what it means to lose that type of weight. When you go to the gym, or if you have a small child at home that weighs about 20 pounds, pick up that 20-pound child
and
or
run.
Pick up that 15 or 20-pound dumbbell, hold it in front of you, or you know tape it to you somehow, and try to run with it. And you tell me how much that extra 20 pounds slows you down. Now it's different. It's not spread out throughout your body, and it's you know you're holding it. I get it. It's different. But the point stands. It makes a difference.
Well, the amazing thing about that is you can lose 20 pounds in a minute. Just take it off.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to lose 20 pounds.
I'm trying to lose the sympathy 15 I put on with my weight when she was pregnant. It's not working. Trust me. It's amazing when you turn 35 how hard it is to drop pounds.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Well, wait till you're 50.
Let's go to Greg down from the Jersey Shore. I'll try to put the pause button on that one.
Yep.
What's up, Greg? How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, nice to have you.
A couple of concerns. Not concerns, but just what's the health of the backups in the defensive backfield and the starters, like with Eli having now both ankles are hurt. Any news what's going on there?
That's all we know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I don't get the sense that it's super serious. I don't know. I'm with Jeff. We haven't gotten any test results or anything like that. We don't know what the deal is. But, you know, we didn't see him get carted off the field or anything like that. But I would guess that that's more precautionary than anything else, but it's obviously something you want to keep an eye on.
All right. And just one question on the offensive line. I'm not talking about the tackles, as our friend from up north, the Great White North, does, but If Brett Jones is going to be considered looked at as a starter at right guard,
mm-hmm.
What does that do to the backup center position?
He could do both.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely could.
So
do
what'll
both.
Happen? Let's say just in theory, you name Brett Jones the starting right guard. Your center goes. Let's say then Weston Richburg gets rolled up. He has to lead the game with an ankle or a knee or whatever. You would probably just slide Jones over to center.
Yeah,
and then you would have John Jerry or DJ Fluke, whoever happens to be your backup right guard on the final roster, move over to guard.
Yeah, and you saw that Brett Jones played in the second half. He started at center. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's definitely...
Yeah, actually, when the backup line came in, yeah.
Yep.
And anything to read in that Wheeler getting in the early reps? Though,
I wouldn't read into that at all. I would read into it as basically, you know, listen, Eric, you're done. You know, let's give the guy some reps. He's going to get some more reps next week. Want to still further evaluate this guy.
Because, you know, by the way, as much as people complain about Eric Flowers, if he gets hurt,
he played okay.
If he gets hurt, you're in a lot of trouble because you then have to move two different guys.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have to move Pugh outside and then put somebody else in at left guard, which means you have to move Jerry from right guard to left guard, and then your whole offensive line becomes a jumbled mess. So as much as people want to go after the kid, if he somehow goes out, they're going to have to do a lot of mixing and matching here to work out this offensive line. So I'm with Jeff. I think that was just a matter of, you know what, let's not have anything happen to this kid. And like you said, I think you made a great point. In games, he's been fine. He hasn't been bad in game situations. He really hasn't.
Oh, listen, I think you got to look at it as a whole. And would you sit there at the end of this preseason, can we sit there and say, you know, is Eric Flowers gone from a guy that everybody doesn't want on the team to a perennial all-pro player? No. But can you say that he's improving in some aspects of his game? I would say yes. But that's your guy. That's who's going to be.
That's all we hope for.
Well, that's all you got.
Against the Jets front line, I thought the first string offensive line did fine.
I agree.
Except for that play where Jerry got blown up.
I agree. 100%.
And he got benched.
I like McAdoo pulling the trigger that quick, too. So that's good. All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Go Giants.
Thank you. 201-939-4513. I haven't heard from Len in Columbia, Maryland in a long time. Hi, Len.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, Len. How are you?
Hello, Len.
Good, good. Jeff, how are you? Hey, listen, first and foremost, congratulations, John.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate it.
Hey, that's really great.
Len, as you can tell by the clear look in my eyes, he's actually letting me sleep a little bit. So I'm actually somewhat cohesive right now, which is good.
Well, as long as you don't, you know, run him around the house too much, like you were just talking about, holding the baby out in front of you and running, trying to find that hole in the line to get through for a first down.
Yes, thank God.
High and tight always. High and tight.
Glenn, a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Always high and tight, baby. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. There you go. Hey, listen, a win. I feel good. What? A win over the Jets. I feel even better. You know, anytime you got a chance to beat the Jets, checkers, basketball, whatever you're competing with them, win the game. Win the game. Win the match. Whatever it is. So,
well, they tried to give it away.
You always feel better after a win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, let me ask you a quick question before I make a comment or two. Mm-hmm. Under the CBA, do you have to keep 90 people on the roster? Do you have to go out on the street and replacing Evan Schwann?
Len,
if they wanted to, Len. The roster sounds like it seems like it's like a bus station.
Well, Len, honestly, if they wanted to, they could cut down to 53 tomorrow if they wanted to. There's no minimum number of players you have to have on the roster. There's only a maximum.
Okay. Well, why pick this young man up?
Did you see how the secondary played in the second half of that game?
God, we got 3 days to find out what he can do, Jeff.
Yeah, but the fact is, to answer your question, they picked him up because they can. You can now, all right? So they want to get a look at him. They don't have to keep him.
All right.
It's a free pass, really.
I got you. Yeah.
And I will tell you that a lot of teams,
very good.
A lot of teams on that subject with the 53 and the cuts and stuff, if there's a veteran on the team, they're most likely, and they know he's probably not, pretty much not going
to
make the team.
You want to give him a shot.
They'll let him
up,
go
right?
To give him a shot maybe to get picked up before the final roster cuts. You know, but that doesn't happen all the time. But to answer your question, as John said, they could get down to 53 today if they wanted to, but they won't. They won't.
Okay. I thought that maybe there was some sort of requirement under the agreement that they had. You do have to carry 53. I mean, you can't decide you're only going to carry 49 during the season.
No.
I mean, I think that's a requirement, isn't it, Jeff?
I don't believe so. I think 53 is the max. I don't think there's a minimum.
You know what? Because
I think you got to carry 53, and I think you got to dress 46.
No, Len. I think there are actually some situations where I've seen teams only have 52, and I think when that happens, occasionally it's if a guy, for example, gets hurt. and they know another player is getting off like temporary IR like 2 or 3 days later, you might have two or 3 days during the week where you only have 52 guys on the roster. Very rarely, though, I think, will a team go into a Sunday with just 52. I honestly, I don't pay attention to it. I don't count it. But I don't remember ever seeing that, to be honest with you.
Okay. No, I haven't either. And I just want to make one more comment on that.
Please.
It's kind of off on a tangent. It's not what I wanted to talk about. But, you know, you might find yourself with a parsimonious owner who decides, you know what, the last 3 weeks of the season, let me save a little money. I'm only gonna you know, we'll only dress 49. the union's not going to let that happen.
Yeah, you know what, Len? Honestly, I'm not sure if that's a rule or not. I will have my expert on union rules, Jeff Fiegels, here, make some calls to the NFLPA, and we'll find out if that's the case.
Okay, and
I see both sides of it.
For you to look into.
Yeah.
I think 10 people on the practice squad's a requirement. You can't go to 9.
Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta get it.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I will check on that for you, Len, and next time you call up to ask me, I'll have the answer for you, okay?
Okay, buddy. Thank you. All right, listen, on your comment, if I might respond to some of the comments that you made.
Please.
You know, Deion is playing fairly well, and I think he can be the fifth. I think he can be the fifth corner as long as we have to can restrict his play to, you know, the backup slot guy. You know, the slot corner.
I agree with that.
I mean, we can't play him on the outside.
I agree with that.
You're asking for punishment if we stick Deion on the outside.
Too small.
I mean,
come on, we've seen that.
I'm with you.
But I think he can play, you know, give us some special teams help and a backup in the slot. You know, I think he can be the fifth guy. I mean, I'm okay with that.
I think he's played into it. I think he'll make it.
Yeah, good. I mean, he's worked hard second year around. I'm pleased to hear that. You know, a couple of ideas on this offensive line. You know, you were talking a little bit about Wheeler. He's the only one on the roster who slides in without having to make other changes that John alluded to into left tackle. And we just might see this guy make the roster and the sixth round pick not make the roster. You know, and I think I noticed Wheeler playing a little left guard at the end of the game the other night. It'll be interesting to see whether we play him at left guard. If we see, Wheeler as the left side replacement and we see Fluker as the right side replacement, and then Jones fits in at center and, again, can back up at left guard and right guard, gives us maximum use in the offensive line because, as you alluded to, John, I know we've been talking about this through the offseason too. There's no pure backup. I mean, we got to move Pugh out there, so we're making two changes to fill that one spot. Mm-hmm. Listen, a couple of ideas on I want to give you some general manager's philosophy here.
Sure.
And this will fit in maybe with the offensive line somewhere. Hold your picks. Hold your draft picks. We got to accumulate draft picks, not give away draft picks. The answer to the question, the response to the problem, is always on the roster. If the scouts have done their job, if Jerry's done his job, the answer is on the roster.
Unless
it's on that 90-man roster.
I will say, Len, unless.
Go ahead.
Maybe in the preseason you're right. But I think in the regular season, if you get two or three guys at one position go down in one game, you simply don't have the numbers on your roster at that point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. There are going to be always – you're right. Thank you, John. I mean, there's always going to be extenuating circumstances. But basically, hold your picks and look to your roster.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree with that.
That's why you have an offseason.
Correct.
That's why you have free agency. That's why you put those guys on the roster as future contracts in January. It's why you have a draft. The answer should be on the roster. Secondly, never pay a backup more than a starter.
I think that's a good rule to live by. I think that's fair.
How about the Browns? They're paying their backup quarterback $15 million.
Remember, hold on. I want to say something about that for a second.
Well,
everyone keeps
saying
that. I know they bought a second-round draft pick, but still they paid $15 million for him.
Thank you.
If Kizer is really the starter,
and he
looked good the other night. I mean, no question when we played him.
Yeah.
If Kizer is the starter – You know why that team has been failing for as long as it has.
Well, the problem, Len, is that
it's more than the quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a management problem too.
Yeah. I agree. And look. I don't think Kaiser's ready either. But they have a decent enough offensive line where I don't think the kid is going to get traumatized by playing this year. And I mean, the other options are just so poor. All right, Len, do you have anything else for me? If you do, really, really quick.
Okay. Yeah.
I got one more for you.
General manager's philosophy here, and maybe this applies to the right guard situation.
Mm-hmm.
Never keep a former starter on your team as a backup on your team.
Whoa, I don't agree with that.
How? I would say long-time starter, it can get rough making them a backup. But if you look at a guy that's been starter for 1 year for your Len, and then they transition to a backup role, I'm okay with that.
Listen, this is not wishing anything bad on John Jerry. I think they'll start him, by the way, on Thursday night. I think Jerry will start. But I think you release Jerry if he's not the starter.
They just gave him a contract this offseason, Len. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
They gave Fluker one, too.
Yeah.
And they're both, starters.
I would be surprised if John Jerry's not in the opening day roster.
I would be, too. I just think he can, I think that Brett Jones is a guy that can play multiple positions. John Jerry is your one guy at right guard. I don't know who are the other guys. Adam Geddes got hurt on the weekend.
Very true.
You got the two rooks, the right and the left tackle guys. There's not many guys that you can insert in there you would feel confident that could play in an NFL game for an extended period of time other than Fluker and Jerry and Jones. Fluker, but Jerry, and Jones.
Sounds like a law
show.
Firm, yeah. Let's go to Dave in Cranford. He's up next. Hi, Dave.
How are you guys?
Good, Dave.
Great, Dave. How are you?
What's up?
Good. I'm doing good. Hey, John, I want to give you a lot of credit in terms of talking about the roster. We had talked about the possibility of the Giants keeping three guys on the defensive line, and you brought the issue that Jay Bromley tends to get hurt a lot. And I think I don't think his injury is all that serious, but I do think that it could play into the fact that they would keep four defensive tackles, which obviously has a ripple effect across the roster.
Oh, Dave, absolutely. Even if Bromley, let's say, is only going to miss 2 weeks, but one of those 2 weeks is the first regular season game, you can't go into Dallas with two defensive tackles dressed. That's not going to work. So you're right.
Yep.
That will affect your final roster construction. I agree 100%.
Yep, I totally agree. And I think the other thing was the other night, I think it was interesting just to see the play of JPP. And it's, I really think that this defense, if you look at last year, as you guys have done, if you look at last year, it took them a couple games, which is typical in a Spagnuolo defense. It really took them at least, you could argue, almost maybe half the season before the defense became what it was towards the end of the year. And if you even follow the statistics, a lot of their statistics came about in the last four, five, six games. And so my point is, I think they have a chance this year. I think when you look at Landon Collins and JPP in particular, I think the two of them have the chance to put up some really eye-popping statistics from both their positions because they're coming out of the gate. I mean, I think Landon has made a case very clearly that he's ready to go, wants to go right now, and he's talking that way, and he's playing that way. And I think that, the expectations for the defense, I don't think it's unfair to think that the defense should be a dominant defense coming right out of the gate.
If you look at some of the statistics, JPP was missing the last three or four games. I think it was the last four games of the year, wasn't it?
Five.
So then you look at the production of that defense without him. Then you look at OV, who was hurt the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Both these guys are healthy. Both of them have been smart in training camp, both from a personal side and from a coaching side. They're giving these guys a little bit of break here and there.
And by the way, OV, who I didn't think looked as explosive early in camp, he's ramped it up a little bit.
He's getting closer to
yes.
the real stuff. But it was JPP is just the guy is healthy again. He's basically 2 years removed from what happened to his hand. I mean, things are happening for him in a good way, and now he's just playing football, and that's what he's all about, that guy, okay? And he's got his contract. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. Mm-hmm. You clear the mind, clear the mechanism, as they say in Tin Cup. Clear the mechanism. Just go play. Don't think about anything and just go do it.
I think he has a chance to have his best season since 2011.
He sure does look like it.
Now, can he stay healthy, though? That's been a trick for him, too. He tends to get banged up over the course of the season sometimes.
And the other thing with Bromley, you know, you could always move. You could if you had to, you could go in with two defensive tackles because of Bromley and Okwara could play a little bit of inside.
You mean Kerry Wynn and Okwara.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said Bromley and Okwara.
Kerry Wynn.
Yes.
You know, so in a pinch.
Yeah, you could if you had to.
In a pinch.
You could if
you
had to.
You don't want to, but you could. So, anyways.
The other comment is about Brett Jones, guys. And you know, I just think that there's a real – and I think you're both leaning that way. Jeff, I think you definitely are. I think there's a good reason for him to start. And you know, I think his size, if you look at you know, a lot of times on offensive line, being tall isn't necessarily an advantage.
That's
because,
true.
Because, you know, low man wins. And
yep.
So I think when you hear other players talk about Brett Jones, the comment that they make about him a lot of times is how smart and how much he knows the whole offense. And I think that's a big deal. I think that's why Fluker is where he is on the depth chart is not necessarily just his physical side. I think it's the fact that, you know, Jones just knows the offense cold and knows it very, very, very well. And I think that there's a really good chance that he starts. And I think I'd be very pleased with him as a starting guard, even with his physical limitations, because I don't – when you look at his size compared to, you know, Justin Pugh or a couple other guards that I've looked at, he's not that much – you know, it's not that big a difference. And I think he – you know, give me a guy that knows his assignments and knows where he's going to be. And I think that's who you got in Brett Jones. And I think that, you know, and I don't think it's a bad sign to send to the team as well as to the offensive line, you know, that McAdoo can send to them, which is, hey, guys, you know, the best five guys are going to play.
I think that's
an important part.
Thank you, Dave.
It's a good point. I agree with every one of them, especially the smart guy. And being
you know,
low.
The other thing about Brett Jones, he can move a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, some of these bigger guys, when you try to ask them to pull or do things like that, they don't get to where they need to go. They stumble, they fall down,
that
whatever.
Helps the running game.
They don't get to the right guy. That's where you get penetration and things like that. Brett Jones can move a little bit.
You want me to get up on that second level and make a good block.
I do think there are legitimate concerns about his ability to maintain the depth of the pocket. I think those concerns are fair. But I think Dave makes a great point. He does know the offense extremely well. He's smart and he can move. His technique is good, like you said earlier. I think all those things rally in his favor.
Yeah, and we'll see. Is there a huge, huge difference in as far as who we're all talking about here? It's not night and day. I mean, they're all comparable, but it comes to the intangibles. It comes to the intangibles at that position.
All right, let's go to Don in Tennessee. What's up, Don?
Hey, guys, how are you today?
Great, Don.
Good.
How are you?
Don?
I'm great, thank you. A couple of three quick questions for you.
Sure.
With Johnson and Geno Smith not really moving the club the way they should have the other night, especially Geno getting really the opportunity to show what he could do, there is a rumor floating around that Ryan Nassib might get cut by New Orleans. If that were the case, do you think that the Giants would bring him back, especially since he already knows the system?
Yeah, that was kind of brought up jokingly on the radio broadcast yesterday. Chris Carino brought up during the game. I know we had a brief chat about it on the pregame show. I honestly don't think that's very realistic. We'll wait and see. You never know. But there's a reason the Giants, you know, they could have brought him back if they wanted to this offseason when he got his elbow healthy. They didn't. So I think that probably sends a bigger message than anything else, to be honest with you.
I don't think they would do that. And I think that ship sailed. I think that, it kind of makes sense. But I think in the bigger picture, they would not do it. So that's just my opinion.
Well, to me, Ryan Nassib played a great role last year. I mean, he was a good backup. I'm sorry to see that they didn't choose to or may not choose to bring him back.
Yeah.
I think he would be an asset. Second question, the hit that Janoris Jenkins put on where Deion wound up with the touchdown.
Yeah.
Did Janoris Jenkins put some weight on? Because I've never seen him make as good a hit as that was in all last year or even in preseason.
Well, here's the thing. When you're playing against an inexperienced quarterback, and I think Hackenberg was still the quarterback at that point, right, when he made that hit and got the pick, I'm pretty sure he was. And guys like that tend to telegraph passes. And I think that's how Landon got his pick. And when a cornerback sees a quarterback going somewhere and you're playing, you know, a softer zone, which I think is what they were doing on that play, so Jenkins is able to get a little bit of a head of steam.
Good break on the ball.
Get a break on the ball and just drop your shoulder into the guy because, frankly, because of Hackenberg being a young and inexperienced quarterback, he knew exactly where the ball was going.
And I'll make one real quick comment about Dante Dion.
And thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
A year ago, Dante Dion doesn't make that, in my opinion, doesn't make that interception because he's just is not in the right place at the right time. I think that he's learned the system. I think he's studying more. Well, John had an interview with him on our pregame show. He's telling you, all I do is study. All I do is get in the playbook. All I do is this, and this. That's being a pro. And things like that, good things happen when you prepare.
It's your job.
And you know, I think a year ago he's not even in the vicinity. The ball hits the ground, it's incomplete pass. Now it's turned into an opportunity to scoring play on defense, which, by the way, the defense scored three times. I mean you count a safety as a score. At
sure
least I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, 14 points.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're not my
friend. And here we go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, before you go, I want to read a headline from an article.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to go down to the Miami Herald and Adam Beasley, who covers the Miami Dolphins. And this is the opening line. I'm going to read this. Charlie, I want you to stand by. Jeff, you'll enjoy this. It seems like a perfect fit, right? Dolphins linemen are falling like leaves. Brandon Albert is a free agent. So why hasn't there been a reunion with Miami? Well, says Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, because Albert, the former Pro Bowl left tackle, truly is retired. A league source tells the Miami Herald that Albert has no desire to play anymore.
End of quote.
Charlie, go ahead. How are you?
That leaves Beatty. That's why I talk about
Beattie. No, I know more Beattie. I will. If you mention his name one more time in this call, Charlie, I will have my guy hang up on you. I'm warning you ahead of time, okay? Don't mention his name.
I know. You always had a blood pressure problem.
I did, yes. That was true.
Hey, let me break down this game for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
First half, our defense outscored our offense 16-13.
Okay. 13's right. Not bad, though. 13's okay.
We scored one touchdown the whole game, okay?
Okay.
One touchdown. In the second half, what happened? We were outscored 28-3. So that tells me we have no depth on the defense, and we have no depth on the offense. So if everybody's, like, totally think this was a great game because we scored one touchdown, we got a lot of issues and a lot of problems. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to say, again, we are dumbing down the left tackle position. You said he hasn't played bad. He hasn't played bad. Like, that is good. I mean, if we said that about Eli, or if we said that about Collins, or if we said that about ODB, he didn't play bad, people would be all over them. All over them. But left tackle, he doesn't play bad. That
Charlie,
is like a win.
I'm giving you the analysis of how the person played. And given the performance of the last couple years, if you that would be considered an improvement. And isn't that what we're looking for? Hey, look, Charlie, if you're going to judge Eric Flowers this year as to whether or not he's a first-team All-Pro, I hate to tell you, you're probably going to be disappointed, okay?
Your time.
I'm not even looking close to that.
All right?
The visible bar is pretty low on the left side. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we understand that.
The other thing about Jones is, if you're going to start Jones at guard, what if he goes down? Now you have no backup center, or who's the backup center?
That's why you have a practice squad.
You're not gonna sit Brett Jones out just because you don't. You're gonna wait for Weston Richburg to get hurt. That's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
It's exactly what you're saying.
No, I'm saying we got to have a third center on the roster.
No, you don't. Charlie, it's you can't have three backups to every offensive line
Warner,
position. There are only 53 guys on the roster. You don't have three left tackles on the roster. Who's your third left tackle?
Phew.
He's our second left tackle. Who's the third left tackle?
I do see your point to a point, if that makes sense. I see your point to a point. But, I don't know. I haven't watched enough practice to know who's getting reps behind Brett Jones at center.
How about that guy? It was called, I don't know his name. It was Heliport. I call him Heliport.
Heliport.
75.
Yeah,
75.
Well.
He's a center.
Halipo.
Yeah, Halipo.
I was going to say Halipo. That's
a guess, by
the way. All I'm saying is
right.
You could have somebody who can play guard and center if you're going to start Jones. But let me go to the defensive line quickly.
Okay, real fast.
Real quick. You're saying, we can't keep three defensive linemen. But actually you can, because Wynn can play D-tackle. Mm-hmm. JPP can play D-tackle. O'Collar has played D-tackle. So you have more options on your defensive ends that can actually slip into the tackle position. So I think you can just go with three D-tackles if you have to.
Charlie, did you listen to the whole show today?
No.
I didn't think so.
Why did you say that?
We both talked about that before. So what the heck? You need to tune in at 12 o'clock to watch the whole game. Or at least watch and listen to the whole show.
So you agree with me, right?
Well, it's easy to agree with you in this one. We don't agree with anything you say about the offensive side of the football.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, guys.
Bye, Charlie.
Take it easy. All right, final call of the program. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Nugs. Nugs, you got about 2 minutes. Wrap us up, okay?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
I'm just calling in to say I hope that Darkwa ends up being our starting running back.
I don't think he's going to be the starter, Nugs, but I think he'll be on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just over the course of the season, I think he has a chance to surpass Paul Perkins, mm-hmm. just because on Madden, he's live. But I just feel like, I don't know, I'm just channeling my inner Mr. Mirror, and I feel like our offense is broken. I feel like.
Do you really think Nugs? Do you really think the off? If you think the offense is broken, and I disagree with that. But if you really believe that, do you believe the offense is broken because of Paul Perkins? I mean, seriously.
No.
Thank you.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's broken because of Paul Perkins. I think it's broken because McAdoo is a better offensive coordinator when he has a coach like Coughlin making sure that certain aspects of the offensive game plan aren't overlooked. I think he got the job because he was comfortable with Eli and our offense was doing numbers, but I just don't think that I think that the oversight aspect of Coughlin has been underrated and undervalued, and I got big hopes for this defense. I think this is going to be another year where the defense leads our team, but just as far as the preseason went so far, I just don't see our offense living up to what it needs to live up to so far. Now, like I said, I could be wrong, but right now I just feel like our offense is broken. And I'll just listen to you guys off the line.
Thank you, Nugs. Well, I think we'll find out in the regular season. I mean, you can only tell so much in the preseason. We'll see. I mean, you have more talent at wide receiver for sure.
Tight end position for sure.
You hope the young guys on the offensive line get better, and we'll see.
For discussionary purposes, we like to talk about both sides of the football in
discussionary
preseason.
I like that word. That's a new one.
The fact is that I know we're judging a lot of things on the preseason. Mm-hmm. We really can't. We really need to wait. Let's talk. Let's have this discussion after the first or second game of the regular season.
It gets tricky.
Mm-hmm. Gets tricky.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
Oh, yeah.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
Yes, sir. I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmoke.
All
right, here we go. And by the way, we're not going to have a chance to play this much during the season because you're going to be on Mondays a lot, and oftentimes I'll be traveling, and I'm not going to be around on Mondays. So, here we go.
Somehow, I think we'll fit it in.
We'll do our best. Did you play with Trevor Bates?
No.
sure about that.
Yep.
You win.
Correct.
You
very
win.
Good.
Okay. I was a setup.
You did not play with
I've
Trevor
played
Bates.
With a couple Trevors, but not with Bates.
Did you play with Bill Bates?
No.
Okay.
Played against him.
Right. Did you play with Justin Coleman? Did you play with
Justin Coleman? I'm going to say that I did not play with a Justin Coleman.
Correct. 2 for 2, Jeff Beagles.
Yes, Schmelk, you can make a mockery of my memory,
did
but
you
not
play
today.
With David Jones? Did you play
DJ,
with David Jones?
DJ Jones. A lot of Joneses on the back of those jerseys over the years.
I know. Did you play with David
Jones? Was it a David Jones? I'm going to go 3 for 3 and say no.
Correct.
Woo!
Those are all members of the 2017 New England Patriots.
And this is what John loves to do. Goes to show you how much we're prepping
wow.
for the New England Patriots game.
I didn't think you were going to get all three of those. That was pretty good. I'll update your standings. Relax. Relax.
There's a nice blue pen for you.
Okay, I got you. Thank you. All right, now you.
We are moving to 33.
I got you down to just 5 games over .500, but now you have jumped to 33 and 25.
Now, see, that last one was kind of a teaser because you go to the first two with no, and you're thinking, is he going to go all three or is he going to throw one in there?
I have to keep you on your toes, Feagles.
You know what I actually did today? I was visualizing the backs of the jerseys. And then when you hit me with
the Jones,
I was like, oh, boy.
Come on, Jones.
No, on the first two, I'm like, nope, I don't remember that one. Then Jones, I'm like, oh, my God, there's a lot of Jones I played with, but not that guy. What was his first name?
David. You know what? Before I tell you I actually got that right, I should put that name in the Pro Football Reference to make sure there wasn't another different random David Jones. Hold on. I have to check now because there might have been a random David Jones on one of your
there's
rosters.
A lot of Jones.
Let's see. There was
though.
A David Jones that played in 1992. Let's see what team he played on. Hold on.
Please don't be playing one of them.
In 1992, David Jones played for the Oakland Raiders. So, no, not him. There was another David Jones that played from 87 to 91.
Uh-oh.
So let's see. No, 84 to 87, excuse me.
I was her first year 88.
Oh, so then you're clean. You got it.
Dang right.
Lucky man.
Dang right,
all right,
man.
We got Giants and Patriots on Thursday night. Make sure you check it out. It'll be on NBC4 locally, CBS, WCBS 880 AM on the radio. Jeff Feagles and I will have pregame coverage at Lance Meadow and Paul Dottino. Tomorrow it'll be Dottino and Meadow from noon to 1 on Giants.com. So you get ready for Giants and Patriots, the final preseason game until we actually get some regular season
real stuff.
Football.
Used to love
Can't
those
wait.
First games.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com, everybody. Have a wonderful day.